What's up, rich friends? Welcome back to another episode of Net Worth and Chill with me, your host, Vivian Tu, aka your rich BFF and your favorite Wall Street girly. So talking about money is still a bit taboo. And while I'm working hard to change that, there's actually another group of people trying to do the same. Celebrities. In recent years, celebrities have been more candid than ever about either the pay gap in salaries or how they handle their finances. And while some are incredibly sharp, strategic, and witty investors, others are so bad with money that they are blowing through multi-million dollar fortunes overnight. So I thought today we could cover some of the best, worst, coolest, and weirdest things celebrities have done in regards to their money. While I know my way around the finance world, I'm certainly not up to date on Hollywood gossip, so I've invited a pop culture aficionado, host of the Fluently Forward podcast, and celeb expert. Everyone, please welcome Shannon McNamara.
Hi, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Shan, it's so good to see you again. I haven't seen you since our little dinner. It's been a minute. But before we jump in, can you explain your content and what you do? Because the first time we hung out, you had to really deep dive this for me because I didn't know what a blind item was or like any of this around surrounding celebrities. So can you just give us an explainer?
Yeah, for sure. Blind. What a sexy term, especially if you don't know what it is. It kind of hooks you. So my podcast is all about entertainment news, pop culture, celebrity gossip, celebrity speculation. Like, I love being speculative about things like that. And blind items are one of the things that we talk about because blind items are on the rise recently, made popular by like accounts like Dumois or NT Lawyer with CrazyDaysAndNights.net. And a blind item is basically a piece of celebrity gossip, but you don't say the person's name for legal reasons, but you give like clues. So if you're in the know and you know who like a Canadian former tweener might be, Justin Bieber, like you can kind of read in and guess what's going on. And it's this cool world of like open secrets in Hollywood that are kind of told through these blind items. And if you know, then you know.
I love that if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, since you are the celeb expert, the first topic I did want to discuss is one of recent mass hysteria. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, those parents that said they did not wash their kids unless they saw visible dirt, they actually officially announced recently that they would not be leaving their fortune to their kids at all. Like, what is your take on that?
Yeah, they're such like, I consider them and like Dax Shepard, Kristen Bell, like the TMI couples. Like, yeah, they're always talking about being dirty. And you're like, where are these quotes coming from, you know? But I actually liked that they said that. Mila Kunis, I like both of them. Ashton Kutcher has this company, Thorn. Have you heard of it? It's all about like protecting against child sexual abuse materials online. And Mila Kunis is like a famously frugal celebrity. She uses Groupon. Her wedding band was on Etsy for $90. And she talks about a lot. I think she was born in the Ukraine, growing up with this like immigrant mentality and how like her parents are frugal, she's frugal, and all of these wacky experiences of her just kind of not fitting into that Hollywood celebrity world because she's smart with her money. I mean, she makes fun of herself and says that she's cheap, but I think it just comes down to that. And also, yeah, like their kids are going to be fine. Like, their kids are going to be able to get a job. They're going to go to a good school, a good college. What do you need like a huge trust fund for? And like, I'm sure they're probably going to get something anyway.
Yeah, I know that they said they're not giving any of that money, but I have like this strange conspiracy theory, and I want your take on it because I know you love these theories.
Love them, yeah.
So a lot of rich people have said this and done this in the past. However, what they end up doing is they take this money and they give it to a charity that they found, and then, oh, surprise, surprise, guess who is the executor or the CEO or the chairman of said charity?
That it's Ashton Jr.
Right,
isn't
exactly.
It, you know?
Yeah. So, and, you know, the charities are nonprofits. They're registered nonprofits, 501c3s. They are able to legally avoid a lot of the taxes that a typical business would have to pay. And then when you are the chairman and you're making all of those executive decisions, you can essentially be like, ah, my salary is going to be this.
Isn't that wild? I mean, thankfully, I think people are smarter now. Ever since, like, remember Coney 2012?
Oh my God, I bought the bracelet. I don't even want to talk about this.
Like, people then really started looking at nonprofits with a fine-tooth comb. And my family and I run a nonprofit. So, like, we know all about, like, the sketchy ways people will do things like that. Or maybe they don't leave money to the kids, but on their birthday every year, they get, like, a check for, like, $1 million or something, you know? Yeah. I'm sure the kids will, like, the kids aren't going to suffer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. The tax code actually has a thing where you can gift up to, I don't know the exact figure off the top of my head, but, like, you can essentially gift $16,000 per parent every single year per kid.
16 or 60?
16. Okay. But here, let me explain why this is important. That doesn't count against the lifetime gifting threshold, which is closer to 12 to 13 million.
Oh, God.
Which is, like, an astronomical amount of money, if you think, like, right? Like, that's not even just, like, oh, I have, like, a rich lawyer dad. That's, like, an astronomical.
That's, like, an insane. Like, I wouldn't know what to do with that much money, you know?
Yeah. So I do think that's really interesting that a lot of these celebs are now, like, oh, no, my kids, they're going to be regular people. It's, like, not really, because you're still going to be their mom and dad.
Yeah, like, they kind of want the brownie points of talk. I think celebrities in general, they're just screwed if you talk about money, because it's, like, I don't want to hear anyone with over $10 million talk to me about money. I'm just going to be mad, you know?
Okay. And talking about a couple that had $10 million, let's do a little bit of a throwback and let's discuss a couple that is possibly the worst I have ever seen as it pertains to managing money. Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt. Shannon.
You could have just stopped with the worst, period.
Shannon, for those of us who don't know, who are these people? And why are they relevant?
Yeah, so they're a couple, and they got together on The Hills back in the early 2000s, one of, like, the first, kind of, like, first reality TV shows. And they were just, like, a notoriously toxic couple who have somehow, like, stayed together throughout the years. I started paying attention to them because every time I would go out, drunk girls in the bathroom would say, you look like Heidi Montag before her plastic surgery.
Oh, my God, that's so mean.
Well, is it? Because then I, like, looked into it, and they were like, no, but she looks better. Anyway, so that's my doppelganger. So sometimes I pay attention to her life, and it's not going well. Like, her and Spencer Pratt is notoriously, like, the most thirsty man in Hollywood, and he's always doing something. And I feel like their money troubles kind of correlate with that. So they got rich quick, and they just spent so much money. Bodyguards, wine.
Wait, can we go back? How did they get so rich? Because typically, you know, as someone who is currently looking into, you know, working in the TV space, pitching out a concept, like, TV's not really a huge moneymaker on a per episode basis, unless you're, like, really, really famous. Like, how are they making all this money?
I think a lot of it is just, you probably know the term better than me, but you know how, like, when you're poor, it's easy to stay poor, and when you're rich, it's easy to stay rich.
Yeah.
I think it just gave them a certain amount of notoriety, and with each episode, right, then you're able to do a modeling contract.
Right,
then you're
right.
able to put your name on something and make money off of that. So I don't know exactly how much they were making per episode back in the day, but they were able to, like, have a lot of spin-off brands and make money early on, and then they just blew it just as fast. And I remember Spencer Pratt saying a quote where he was saying that he would pay people, like, $200 just to open up a door for him. He would be, like, throwing out money, like, giving $15,000 in cash to friends for their birthday. So spending like mad, and then he started that crystal business.
Wait. What crystal business?
He's, like, really into crystals, and there's numbers
like Swarovski, or are we, like...
Like an amethyst crystal. Like
so he's woo-woo.
Tarot card crystal type of thing.
Okay, okay.
And there were numbers saying that he spent, I think this was in 2012 maybe, $500,000 to $1 million on crystals in a year, which is, like, wild. But then he started a crystal business, so I think he, like, made some of
on
the money back on
rocks?
It.
Rocks?
Yeah, well, they're crystals. I've never really understood the crystal thing, but I think some people out there do. And they just really squandered all of their money really fast, almost impressively fast.
Yeah, so you say impressively fast. I looked into it. At one point, they had a $10 million net worth, to your point of, like, you know, $10 million people being unrelatable. But as of 2022, their net worth was estimated to be at $300,000. And
that's crazy.
You said something I thought was very insightful because it's so true. You know, the rich stay rich, they get richer, and the poor stay poor, and they might get poorer. But, like, this is such an example of the opposite, in that this couple had so much money and squandered it.
Well, and so many celebrities do. Like, did you hear about, I forget the exact number, but Johnny Depp, how much he was spending on wine? I think he was spending like $50,000 a month on wine at a certain point in time. And I think it's just like this keeping up with the Joneses that celebrities are awful at. Like, I find it so funny how all of these tech billionaires dress down. They're wearing like Uniqlo like shirts, and like they're trying. Mark Zuckerberg's like, oh, I only have one outfit. I like wear it every day. But these celebrities are the ones who are maxing out their credit cards to appear richer than they are, which just like the difference between trying to appear rich versus trying to appear like the common person. There's such a Venn diagram of that in Hollywood. And you have like the millionaires and billionaires acting one way, and then you have the reality TV stars usually acting in the opposite manner.
Why do you think there is this keeping up with the Joneses? I like to call it the keeping up with the Kardashians effect now.
Because
frankly, it's not the Joneses anymore.
Who are the Joneses? I don't even follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Irrelevant. Yeah.
why do you think that is? Do you think it's just like these reality TV people trying to like launch themselves into that like true Hollywood entertainment space? Or like, what is that?
I think maybe it's that. I think maybe it's vanity and maybe it's ego. And you could say that it's just celebrities, but I feel like even like drive around the suburbs in Connecticut and there's a sense of that going on too. So I feel like it's less Hollywood and more so of those like base human instincts of like wanting to be cemented, like wanting to have friends, wanting to appear like you're well off, trying to get ahead of people. I think it's just vanity. Because, I mean, Mila Kunis is out here using Groupon, so it's not all celebrities, but it is most of them.
That's so interesting. And you mentioned Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
What I find to be so interesting is that people would, like, make fun of him and be like, this guy, he's dressed so ugly. He wears the same T-shirt every day. He wears a stupid hoodie and these jeans. But what we don't actually talk about is that that is also now a signifier of wealth.
Well, Wearing the same outfit.
Well, first and foremost, nobody knows that those T-shirts are Brunello Cucinelli $400 white T-shirts. Yes. They look like Hanes that you would get at the, you know, the Target.
Yeah.
But they're apparently, allegedly, very soft. I don't own one. Brunello Cucinelli is a men's brand. But he, like, every single part of that outfit is actually hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And people, like, truly the only people who can really clock it are other rich people.
Didn't there was an article going around that had a term for that, I think based off of, like, the last season of Succession, where, like, if somebody's, like, dressed down and they're wearing sweatpants, but you can tell that the sweatpants are, like, a high thread count, mm-hmm. then, like, you're even richer than the person wearing the suit. It's just, like, exhausting, dude. Like, I'm a Maxinista, so I'm like, I don't know what's even going on. But, yeah, it's this whole new world.
Yeah, and I also think that now with, like, the economy of, like, businesses changing, it used to be, like, the people in the suits, you could clock them and know that they were the ones making a ton of money. But now you have like these digital creators or
these tech
teeny bopper hype people who walk in with like the raggedy shirt, who literally look like they are dressed in a way that would not allow them to have a normal job. And they're meeting with guys in suits, and the guys in suits work for them.
Isn't that crazy? It all started when we started like ripping our jeans. Like, you remember when your grandparents were like, why are your jeans ripped? And you're like, you don't get it. These jeans were like $100.
Yeah.
And then like Kanye West with his fashion line, like everything just kind of took a little bit of a turn. But you're right. Like if you walk into a fancy restaurant and you see some guy dressed like a slob, he's probably like the richest one there. It's so funky. Yeah.
It's so strange.
Yeah. And so that, like, if you see me with like my period underwear on, it's just because I'm rich. Like super rich, billionaire status.
Super, super duper rich. And speaking of rich people, now that we've talked about some adults, let's talk about Nepo babies. I know that you had a whole like month-long rant about Nepo babies, and I saw you covering them in a really like cool way. Can you define what a Nepo baby even is?
Yeah, so I guess like by definition, a Nepo baby is the child of anyone who's really successful in their field. But we really only talk about it in terms of like you're the celebrity or you're the child of a celebrity or like a famous film director. We usually talk about it in the Hollywood sense. And it's kind of funny because the more that people started talking about it, because let's be honest, like nepotism, like it just sounds so like chic, you know? All these celebrities are firing back and they're like, well, there's nepotism in law. Like, there's nepotism in the hospital. So I guess, like, now everybody's, like, wagging the nepotism finger at someone. But, yeah, if you are in a career and your parent was successful in that career, you're technically, like, a Nepo baby.
Interesting. And what are your take? What is, like, what's your hot take on Nepo babies, generally speaking?
I think it's the same thing that people get offended by being called a Nepo baby. And it's always so weird. It's like when people get offended by being called privileged. It's like, you are something. Like, this is lucky. A lot of people wish that we could have been in your spot. But it's not, like, offensive to call someone that. Just be like, yeah, isn't it nice that my mom is Gwyneth Paltrow? It's nice. You know what I mean? It's when these people turn it into the opposite, like Kendall Jenner being like, I actually like had to work so hard, harder than anyone. And it's like, you flew to every casting on a private jet. Let's just like tone it down a little bit, you know? Like anyway, so I think it's just made a lot of people upset because especially with the current economic times we're in, it just feels like everything's been so unfair. Like post-COVID, it just feels like we've been in a sense of like unfairness for the last 5 years. And now with the layer of nepotism, it's like, and that person got the job because their mom is XYZ. So it's just like this other, I don't know, layer that we kind of have to wade through.
Can we talk about that like unfairness a little bit in terms of like celebrity status? Do we know what really makes someone worth following or worth talking about? Because I'm sure you've seen the article. They recently did like a New York's 100 socialites or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The where they covered all the Nepo babies.
The Nepo babies, but no, but also like they're just like the recent socialites. And I was like scrolling through them. I was like, I don't know who any of these people are. They're all just rich girls.
Yeah.
Like what, why are we fascinated about the, like,
I find
with these people?
It so interesting, even with celebrities in general, right? Because how much money someone makes or how like privileged or well they're doing doesn't really correlate to how people like them. Like, for example, Rihanna is a billionaire, but people never say like, there's no ethical billionaires when you're talking about Rihanna because like everyone loves her. So it's also funny, like even when you watch Gossip Girl, Blair is such a, I don't know if I can swear on here, but like,
yes,
she's a mean girl. She's a bitch,
yeah,
right? But everybody loves her because she like digs her heels in and she's like, I am a bitch. And people seem to like Gwyneth Paltrow because she's like, I am out of touch and rich.
Yeah.
But I think when you have the celebrities who are rich as hell and then trying to like be relatable, I think that's what makes people really mad.
Yeah.
So it's when you have nepotism babies acting like they work harder than you.
Mm.
It's when you have Sydney Sweeney saying, oh, like, I'm struggling with my bills. And it's like, okay, either be rich and out of touch so we can get enjoyment and entertainment out of you, or just be quiet. Like,
yeah,
don't try to have it both ways. It's like when models post these photos of themselves eating pizza. And it's like, I know you didn't eat that pizza. Like,
you took one bite and then spat it out.
Yeah. So, like, don't try to encompass my world and your world when our worlds are so different. Like, pick a lane and stay in it.
Interesting. I wonder if the Rihanna thing is because she grew up dirt poor in Barbados. And it's, we love, society loves a rags to riches story because we think that if she did it, any of us can do it.
Yeah. Although didn't like, wouldn't you say like, didn't Jeff Bezos work in a garage or something? Or I don't know, did he have rich parents?
Yeah. His parents gave him like a couple hundred thousand to launch Amazon.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like,
when you look into anyone, like, you know, Elon Musk is like, oh, look at me. It's like, no, I've, look at your father who's
who gave
like
you
crazy.
An Emerald line.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. In terms of Nepo babies, who do you think are actually good at what they do and deserve the success they have versus people who are just there because of who their parents are? Like, do you have a couple that you're like, wow, these Nepo babies don't deserve the hate that they get?
I think it depends. So, like, let's just say, like, Nepo babies in the modeling industry.
Yeah.
You have Lily Rose Depp, Johnny Depp's daughter. Mm-hmm. She's 5'3". Like, that's insane.
Oh, my.
Like, show me any other model who would get a modeling contract being 5'3".
Yeah.
I'm 5'3", okay?
Yeah.
Like, you shop at the petite section of Banana Republic. Like, that's what you do. You don't model. And on the other hand, you have people like Gigi and Bella Hadid. And Bella Hadid is, like, notorious for working her ass off in the modeling industry.
Mm-hmm.
She does so many shows. She works so hard. She walks so many runways. She knows how to walk, too. She's not one of these, like, Kendall Jenner who had, like, kind of a little bit of
the
a weird
walk. The gazelle
walk,
yeah.
Yeah, for years. So some people really do take the opportunity and make the most of it and get a good reputation for themselves. But then you have other people who, I don't know, like get that opportunity and it's just so undeserved. And you can tell that they don't even want to be there. I think, and I love Selena Gomez, but anytime like you watch her perform and then she's like, oh, like I wish I wasn't performing. It's like, you don't have to be.
Wait, when did she say that?
In her documentary, she was basically like, I don't think I want to be like a famous known person. I don't think I like this. And I, for sure, there's definitely struggles that come with being famous. But I just think all the time, like, you don't have to sing if you don't. You could just do makeup. You could just do Only Murders in the Building. So I think that's frustrating for a lot of people because we just see all of these opportunities and people complaining about them, which makes sense because there are, like, bad sides of being a celebrity. But you have to know your audience. And people get funny about money, especially when it's celebrities talking about it.
100%. You actually mentioned her a little earlier. Someone who wasn't a Nepo baby was Sydney Sweeney. And like you said, she mentioned in a pretty contentious interview that she wanted to be a young mom, but didn't feel like she could afford to take off work. She said, if I wanted to take a 6-month break, I don't have income to cover that. I don't have someone supporting me. I don't have anyone I can turn to pay my bills or to call for help. And I want to hear what you think about that comment, because I remember when, and this is like truly hilarious, because anytime I see BuzzFeed post about something like this, I'm like, the comments are going to be absolutely deranged. When this article came out and BuzzFeed covered it, I went to the comments and people were like, yeah, same. Like,
yeah,
for all of us. What were your thoughts on when she made that comment? And do you think that, like, I'm just surprised she got so much hate because she isn't a Nepo baby. She did, you know, she came from a pretty troubled
childhood, like grew up pretty low income. Like she has worked her way up through the industry with Euphoria being her big break.
Like, you know what? That doesn't even matter to people. Like you see somebody's face on the big screen and you immediately think that they're massively successful, even if they're not. Like yeah. It's just this weird, it's hard to work your way around it. And I remember talking about how much money Sydney Sweeney made and like she couldn't afford a bodyguard or something because the first season of Euphoria, she wasn't making that much money.
Yeah.
But like you go on Reddit and you type in Sydney Sweeney's names and there's like so many like gifs of her boobs in slow motion. Like talk about someone who needs a bodyguard. Like yeah. Sydney Sweeney definitely needs one. And I think it's this weird level of like you make her famous enough that she needs certain things, but you don't pay her enough to be able to afford that. But that being said, it also is a little bit of a keeping up with the Joneses because she bought a $3 million house. And it's like,
right.
You could have just bought one for like $1.5 million and then like been fine. You could like have a kid. So sometimes that's like a little bit of an eye roll because I'm just like, do you really need something that big? Or at least if you're going to complain about something, wouldn't you have just made better choices like over the last year and been a little bit more frugal in that sense? But I will say, I do think she got a little bit misquoted. Like in that interview, they were basically like, would you want to be a mom? She's like, yeah. They're like, well, why not now? She's like, well, I'm just so busy. Like if I couldn't take 6 months off.
Yeah.
And then everybody loves to spend something. But also to that point, when you do work for yourself, it is hard. I'm curious how you feel. Because for me, if I'm sick, like there is no PTO. Or if I want to take vacation off, I have to work twice the load beforehand.
Yes.
So there are certain perks you don't get when you're self-employed.
Yeah, let's take a quick sidebar here to talk about being self-employed. Shannon and I met at this dinner. It was just a bunch of us like creator girlies. And, you know, to your point, I think like a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to be your own boss. And when you quit your full-time job, like you and I have, like you're done, right?
Yeah, in October.
Yeah.
Full-time.
When you quit, like you lose your insurance.
Yeah, I'm on catastrophic health insurance.
Oh my gosh.
Which just basically means like if I get hit by a bus, there's like 3 hospitals I could go to in New York. So.
Oh my gosh, Shannon.
I know, but like that's just, it's crazy, right? Like insurance is like at least $500 a month here. So if you're like relatively healthy, you decide not to get it. But there's all of these things that like really add up. I mean, being self-employed is great, but what can I say? There's also a lot of perks to a 9-to-5.
Yeah, there really are. And I thought about what you said with like maternity leave and PTO, and like I'm going on vacation in a month and I literally am going to have to bank all of the content that I want to release throughout those days. I'm going to have to tee up YouTube videos. I'm going to have podcasts banked, you know, all of this stuff done ahead of time because there's no one to cover for me.
Yeah, there's no coworker who can like pick up your slack. Because let's be honest, like in a 9-to-5, when I left for vacation, I was just like, Jenny will help me with it, you know, or
like,
it just doesn't get done and it's fine. Yeah.
But when it's your business and your bottom line and the money you bring in is what you spend on your life, it's a little bit more challenging, especially when being a full-time creator or full-time, you know, entrepreneur, like there is less consistency month through month.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Like some months I'm like, wow, I am so rich. And other months I'm like, did I make any money this month?
No, it's ridiculous. The up and down. Like one month I'm like, we ball. Like Cosmos for everyone. The next month I'm like, we're all staying at home and we're like, we're going to use like the old bag of quinoa I have. And like that will last us through the month. But it is wild. But, you know, good things come from it too. I think it's definitely a learning experience. But I will say working this job made me appreciate 9-to-5s more because in the past I was like, this sucks. I can't wait to get out of it. And now I'm like, maybe one day I'll go back because like I kind of itch for it sometimes.
Yeah. It was definitely nice to be able to log off at 6 p.m.
Yeah, right?
Because now I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think you do either.
No.
You're just constantly thinking about, like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And one thing I will say that we are lucky to be able to do is to advocate for ourselves in terms of pricing. You know, obviously, you know, I hired a manager, agent. I don't know what your team looks like, but you have a network for your podcast. Like, there are people who are helping you with stuff like that, but we can advocate for ourselves. One thing that I think a lot of people struggle with in Hollywood is the gender pay gap.
Yeah.
You see movies where the leading man and leading woman have equal screen time, equal lines to remember, equal battle scenes. Why is the woman getting paid half as much?
Isn't that crazy? It's still around, and it's still, I will say sometimes there's a little bit of like obscene, not obscene in the sense that it's so unfair, but just obscene in how much money it is. Do you remember that Netflix movie Don't Look Up?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like all about like climate change, and it was like way too long. I like don't even know if I finished it. But Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence were the leads, and there was like a huge article about how I think Jennifer Lawrence was paid $12 million for it, and he was paid like $18 million. But I have to say, in that instance, I was like, you literally have no sympathy from me. Like, you got paid $12 million to like work on a movie set for like a couple of months, like have a green room and probably like your makeup done every day before you went on. Like, that's insane. So I think when it comes to those issues, that's really frustrating. But I remember, I think Lupita Nyong'o spoke out about like at the beginning. And I think that also comes down to like the race gap as well.
Yeah.
And like not being able to get certain roles and not being paid as much as her counterparts. And there was something that was going on about how Jessica Chastain helped someone make more money recently. I didn't read the entire article, but that just goes to show, and you talk about this all the time. We talked about it at that creator dinner. Talk openly with your coworkers about like how much you get paid, even if it's like embarrassing or vulnerable. I've had some conversations where I'm like, damn, everyone knows I get paid the least in the marketing department. But it helps you, and otherwise you don't know. And I'm so thankful you are so transparent about everything. And that's like just such an example.
Yeah, I think to that point, like the more they talk to each other, the easier it is to negotiate good contracts, the easier it is to know what other people are making, the easier it is to know how to demand your worth.
Yeah, because let me tell you, people will try to screw you. Yeah.
Dude, do you follow FYPM? Fuck You Pay Me on Instagram?
No, but I love that.
They are, I think they're so cool. Like, I'm not affiliated with them in any way. Like, this is truly just me shouting them out because I think they do such a great job. They are a brand that basically aggregates how much people have been getting paid to do work for certain brands. Mm. And you share like, oh, what did they specifically buy? What, like, what platform? Or how many followers? Or how many listens? Or, you know, how many reads do you get on your blog or whatever? And then they'll be like, give the brand a review. It's like Yelp for brand partner. So it's like, you know, this brand was very easy to work with, little feedback, super nice. Or this brand had 18 rounds of review, made me reshoot, terrible to work with, would 0 out of 10, do not recommend.
Oh, that's so great.
And it's so interesting because people are so honest because they know that if they put out something, it's going to help somebody else. And they're getting that same feedback loop from other creators.
Yeah, isn't that nice? It's nice when people don't have a scarcity mindset around that sort of stuff, especially with like the new digital age podcast coming out, creator content, even people who make what's a UGC, user-generated content.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is a whole new industry that's taking off, and there's no, like, Glassdoor.com for, like, you know, a TikTok creator. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, pivoting to celebrities who are excellent with money, someone who has really, really impressed me recently, let's talk about the most handsome man, Ryan Reynolds. Oh my gosh, I'm like blushing.
Is
like,
he your number one? You know who loves him? Straight men go nuts for Ryan Reynolds.
They do. Yeah. You know what? My fiance loves Ryan Reynolds.
Classic.
And I feel like this man, similar to a Snoop Dogg, is just doing side quests at this point. He owned a massive stake in Mint Mobile, which just got sold. He built up the Wrexham Football Club. He bought it for like $2.5 million with, oh God, what's the other guy's name? Less Handsome.
Less Handsome
oh
than
Oh my
him.
Gosh, this is so
everyone.
Bad. Yeah, everyone. But oh, no, he's from Always Sunny.
Oh, did he play Dennis? Did he play Mac? Did he play the...
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's not Danny DeVito, is it?
No, it's not Danny DeVito. I'm so embarrassed. I don't know his partner's name, but they bought the Wrexham Football Club for $2.5 million. And now Wrexham, they sold the documentary or like the series to Disney.
Oh.
So not only did they get money for showing them building it up, the team has actually gotten a lot better because they've invested so much money in like the stadium and the concessions and the training and the everything. So that's obviously blown up for him.
Which, don't you have to kind of say, like, hats off to people? Because if I had money, I'd be like, I'm just going to put it in the stock market. Like, concessions in the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, that is a lot of work.
And he is part of the owners of Aviation American Gin.
Yeah.
And so, like, this man literally has his hand in every single honeypot. Like,
oh, including Blake Lively's. Hello.
Oh, my God. Genuinely. What are your thoughts on all of these new celebrity-backed, celebrity-owned brands?
I like it if it's something that's different, that like they're lending their face to. What I think is great is when there's a brand and it's a small business and a celebrity loves it and they go, let me be the face, like let me help of this. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Blake Lively, Child Rescue Coalition, they're a great nonprofit and she like is a face for them, mm-hmm. a voice for them. I think that's great when they pair up. What makes me angry is when every single celebrity in the world is like, you know what, we need another eyeshadow palette. And
yeah.
It's like, I can promise you we don't. There's enough out there. And also it's just, you are kind of after a certain amount of time taking the pot away from other people. And I find that frustrating because it's so many celebrities where it's like, I know this isn't your passion. I know you don't care about this. You're just doing this to make a buck. And there's so many small business owners out there who like have cared about this their entire life. Like they put everything into it. And I just think of other people getting screwed. And I hate to have that mindset because like there's enough space in the world for everyone, but like not these celebrities. Sorry, like go fuck yourself. Like go do something. Some of the brands are good, right? Like Fenty's good with Rihanna. Rare Beauty is good with Selena Gomez. But like Kylie Jenner's skin, you know she's not using her own skin products. So
also I bought a lip kit back in the heyday of those lip kits. It pilled. It was like horrible. It was like horrible product. And it was like almost identical to a cheap $10 tube from ColourPop, which, by the way, I bought that too. Didn't pill. It was better.
Yeah, it was probably better.
It was literally better.
I swear to God, like, CoverGirl Lash Blast is like the best mascara I've ever had. And the Kardashians really pissed me off because not only are they selling you all of these products, they're literally lying, making you more insecure, and then selling you something. Mm. So, like, if a celebrity has plastic surgery, like, I don't care if you got your lips done. But if you're going to lie about it and then sell me a lip kit, but really you got surgery, or if you're Chloe and then you're going to get surgery on your body but then sell me a revenge body workout, or if you're Kim and you're going to get surgery on your body and then sell me shapewear. It's like you either have to be honest about the work or not try to actually profit off of other people's insecurities that you're fixing through surgery that you hide.
Yeah. In particular, you know, I would also say that, like, back to your point of, like, taking money away from people who deserve it, like, the good, the bad, the ugly, like, you've got people who are really, really dedicated to building out an alcohol brand. Then you've got, like, 818 Tequila by Kendall Jenner.
Tequila's her passion, didn't you know? Riding horses and tequila. It's just so stupid.
And then even worse than that, J-Lo recently launched a alcohol brand, and J-Lo has been sober for the past, like, decade.
Doesn't that make you want to scream? I think, I'm not going to say who, but, like, there were some influencers, and I love their podcast, but one of them's like, oh, like, I've been sober. Then they're like, actually, like, and buy, like, our new alcohol we just came up with. And it's like,
no.
You have to be kidding. Like, come on. Like, how dumb do you think we are? So it's just, what an eye roll when people do that. J-Lo also famously said that she uses olive oil for her skin and that's why it's so good. I'm like, okay.
I don't think that if I go to the grocery store and pick up a bottle of olive oil and put it on my skin that will be the effect.
Oh my God. I'll have an effect, but not in a good way.
Right.
A terrifying effect. People will, like, avoid me on the subway. But it's just, like, it's so bizarre when celebrities do things like that. And I have to say, like, an alcohol company while being sober, is that not Hollywood in a nutshell?
Yeah. It's like, let me endorse and encourage literally putting toxins into your body, even though I've made the decision to not do that because it's healthier. And also, I'm trying to money grab.
You know what she should do, too? She should just, like, steer into the skit and then make a J-Lo, like, hangover remedy thing.
No.
And I'll be like, let me just squeeze you for all you're worth. And I'll just, like, I'll take you from the cradle to the grave, basically. Sponsored by J-Lo.
That is atrocious. And, you know, we are getting close to wrapping this episode. And I know you hate them, Shannon. But
is it Dax Shepard?
No. I was going to say, I know you don't like them, but we can't leave without talking about the Kardashians.
Oh, God, yes.
I know. They are one of the wealthiest families in the entertainment world. Why is that? And do you think it's Kris's abilities, publicity, like the teams they surround themselves with? Because there have been so many articles that are like, their
articles
wealth is inflated.
And retractions, right? Like so much drama.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because you're going to come on Fluently
yes.
Forward. We'll do like a very deep dive on them. I will say, like, my hats off to Kris Jenner. And I do think, too, if Kris Jenner was a man, you know that she would be getting 10 times more of the accolades than she does.
Yes.
Everybody's like, Scooter Braun is, like, so good at managing talent. Ariana Grande's been, like, singing loudly since she was 3 years old.
Yeah.
Kris Jenner has managed to turn some of the, like, most spoiled people in the world into millionaires and billionaires. Like, that's some talent.
Yeah.
That she is so good. The Kardashians are so good at setting tiny fires that are small enough to get you interested, but not big enough to completely demolish your brand, and then making money off of every single one of those scandals. It's like this sick, twisted thing.
Tell me about these little I love this, like, little fires theory.
Like, take the lip kits, for example, right? So, like, Kylie was obviously getting her lips done, not talking about it. That turned into a scandal. She went, wait, we can make money off of this. Let's make lip kits because, like, everybody's already talking about it. So let's sell that. Even certain things, too, like, they're notorious for any time something happens. They have so many many members of the family. And once you notice this happening, it's impossible not to notice it. But if Kim gets in trouble, let's say she, for example, wears the Marilyn Monroe dress and like rips it at the Met Gala, I swear to God, Kris Jenner's like a puppet master, and she'll be like, okay, Khloe, you're on deck. Okay, Kylie, you do something. So if you notice, like, after, like, if that scandal happens, then Khloe might, like, Photoshop her baby's face with another of the Kardashians' babies, which, like, did happen. And then that's a scandal. So then that way eyes are off of Kim and they're onto Khloe. So they're always being talked about. But it's never one person being talked about for too long, because then Kim Kardashian would be overexposed. So they, like, spread it against all the family members so well. And now they have all these kids. So, like, damn it, they'll be around forever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think that's actually something genius that, like, the rest of us can also take away, you know, whether you're a digital creator or just like someone working a regular job, having a regular life. It's like anything bad that happens is only relevant until the next bad thing happens.
So true.
So, like, if you accidentally, like, fart in front of your boss, like, that's only going to be talked about and joked about until someone shows up with, like, a really horrible spray tan.
Yes. I remember, like, my first job at a startup, I blacked out in front of my boss.
No.
Well, it was, like, a startup. We were, like, all drinking. I wanted to die. I was like, I have to leave this job. It's, like, so embarrassing. The next weekend, it was, like, somebody else. I'm like, oh, David. Look at David. Like, immediately it, like, changes. Like, anything that you think is awful, like, just wait. Just, like, wait a week. It'll go away.
Yeah. I think that it's nice that time heals a lot of a lot of things.
I mean, you must admire Kris Jenner. I feel like everybody has to.
I mean, the devil works hard, but Kris works harder. What I think I admire so much about her in particular is that, to your point, like, I think for a while, the Kardashian-Jenner family was kind of looked down upon because they, like, they tried to sell the sob story of, like, we grew up poorer than the other kids in our neighborhood. It was like, yeah, like, you had...
Poorest in the gated community.
Poorest in the gated community, and that, like, you were still incredibly wealthy, incredibly affluent, incredibly privileged, maybe in comparison to your friends whose parents were literally celebrities versus your dad who was a lawyer. And, you know, they tried to, like, be like, sob story, like, we grew up in Calabasas and we were poor, but, like, that didn't...
It's like an oxymoron. That's like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence.
Yes.
It's like we grew up in Calabasas, but we were poor, you know?
Yeah, and then I think people didn't like them, but somehow, over the years, instead of being, like, back to our reality TV versus really true Hollywood entertainment stars, like, they have gone from the wannabes, like Paris Hilton's closet cleaner, to celebrities in their own right.
Last one at the Met Gala.
Right.
I mean, talk about an important spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, back in the day, it was, like, Kanye bringing Kim to the Met Gala. And now it's, like, Kanye's not even invited. And Kim's sitting next to Anna Wintour.
I've got, like, a secret working theory that Kanye was the reason the Kardashians. Like, I think without him, they never would have entered that level of success. And I think without him, they're kind of starting to fall from grace. Because I had this great guy, Antfrodite. He's a celebrity psychic on YouTube. And he came on my podcast. And he has this theory that Nepo babies are always drawn to somebody with actual talent. Like, when you see Lily Rose Depp with, like, Timothée Chalamet. When you see, like, Kylie Jenner, the Kardashians with talented, like, athletes or rappers. That's because they don't have, like, this talent of their own to cultivate. But they know what's cool. And they know what's attractive, and they always are good at, like, attaching themselves to people like that. And I think that's what the Kardashians do. And, like, damn it, it worked out. So maybe I should start to do the same.
Yeah.
We all should.
I mean, I guess you are a representation of who you surround yourself with. And they've done a very good job of social climbing, I want to call it, or, like, even, like, economic climbing to the point of, like, mass success.
All I'm going to say is, like, Khloe Kardashian dating Elon Musk, put it on your bingo card for the next 5 years.
No. Really?
Kris Jenner has been buddying up to him.
Wow.
Maybe she'll sick him with, like, someone. All I know is that, like, this family's going to keep climbing up until one day, like, I hate to say it, like, they are going to get into politics and it'll just be like, I'm
100%.
Out. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's like Rob Kardashian for president. Like,
oh my God. And you know what? Like, Rob would probably win.
Yeah. Honestly.
So yikes.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had such a good time. And I think the takeaway from this episode is that celebrities, even though they have more money, doesn't necessarily mean that they are better with money. And they also have their same oddities. So if you do something weird with your own cash, with your money, with your finances, don't be shy. Just try to do better in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me on. I love this.
Of course. And Shannon, tell everyone where they can find you.
My podcast is called Fluently Forward, everywhere podcasts are found. And you and I will be talking Kardashians and their financial scams and twists and schemes over there. So I'm excited for that.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Net Worth and Chill. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a rating and a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Got a financial question you want answered in the future? You can leave me a voicemail or text me at 908-858-3410. Make sure to follow me at YourRichBFF across social media for even more relatable financial content. Special thanks to my team at Audioboom, as well as Range Media and WME. See you next week. Bye!